Israel, Am in Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olives, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Life, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Children of Liberty, was written by Mark Siegel. It is presented in observance of World Jewish Child's Day and the 20th anniversary of the founding of Youth Aliyah. By the waters of the Nile, a basket of bulrushes, coated with pitch and lined with clay, floated among the reeds. And a child, the child Moses, cried. And it is said that at that moment, the angels surrounded the throne of the divine justice and asked,
Lord of the world, shall this wonderful child perish?
And the Almighty answered,
This child shall not perish. For he is destined at the head of my people to chant the great song of deliverance. The history of this child shall be a witness, my almighty power.
This is the history not of one child, but of 64,000. And it is a witness to the power of the Almighty. It is the story of 64,000 children who stand at the heart of their people, destined to chant the great song of deliverance. It is the history of a movement only 20 years old, yet within that movement are the seeds of 20 centuries of progress for all mankind.
Youth Aliyah.
Say the words again.
Youth Aliyah.
Youth, we know, but Aliyah. Can you spell it, little girl?
Aliyah. A-L-I-Y-A-H. Aliyah.
Good for you. An ancient Hebrew word meaning going upward. Today it means also immigration.
Youth Aliyah.
The immigration of youth to Israel. A prosaic phrase suggesting passports and visas and the musty smell of law books. Yet behind the simple phrase is a modern miracle.
I come from Yemen.
I come from Poland.
I from Iraq.
I from France.
From Morocco.
From Hungary.
Turkey.
Latvia.
Brazil.
Bulgaria.
Ecuador.
Holland.
Afghanistan.
Yugoslavia. India.
It has been no simple immigration. For these 64,000 children have been gathered up from every corner of the earth. They are brands plucked from the burning fire of war and persecution. They have wandered through the wilderness and been lifted up to a promised land. In the early months of 1932, a year of restless foreboding in Germany, a dozen young members of a Zionist youth group visited Frau Resha Freier, the wife of a Berlin rabbi.
Frau Freier, can you help us find employment? We have lost our jobs.
Resha Freier listened patiently. In the months that followed, she heard the same request in many forms. The problem turned over and over in her mind.
They are all losing their jobs, all of them.
She concerned herself with specifics.
Can an unemployed Jewish youth in Berlin find work perhaps in Essen, in Düsseldorf? What is to become of them?
Resha Freier slept less and worried more. And out of the tumble of concern, out of conflicting thoughts and impossible imaginings, by what divine process we do not know, a conviction came to Resha Freier.
So, gentlemen, we must send our youth to Palestine.
Palestine.
Now.
But they are not prepared for that kind of life.
Why must they be prepared here? Why can't they be trained in Eretz Israel itself?
Sophia, let me make sure I understand you. You want to send boys of 15 or 16 away from their homes and train them for life on the land in Palestine?
That's what I'm proposing.
Ridiculous, Porfire.
Impossible!
It was an unheard-of suggestion. Everyone was against it. That is, almost everyone. The youth were for it. For more than a year, Resha Fryer sought support for her plan. And her most important conquest was another woman. A woman from Baltimore, then in her 73rd year. Henrietta Zold, the acknowledged leader of social service work in Palestine. When Henrietta Zold undertook a task, there were few who could say no.
No, Miss Zold. Finally, absolutely no.
Herr Falkenberg, it is the only solution.
Well, there's no reason for my son to leave.
No reason with what's happening in Germany?
Oh, it's not so serious as you think, Miss Zold. A few restrictions, some unpleasantness. It will pass.
And these brown shirts, this Hitler?
Unimportant lunatics. Man is playing politics. You're an American, Miss Zold. You should understand that.
I think I do.
No one will listen.
I think you are wrong. Even if you are right, and I hope you are right, I ask you to send your son to Palestine.
Why? Why should I break up my family?
Herr Falkenberg, what does a parent owe his child?
Owe? Oh? Care, I suppose. Education? Love?
More. Much more. A parent owes his child the chance to contribute to the world, to be a builder. Herr Falkenberg, send your son to Eretz Israel. Do not deny him his birthright.
On the morning of February 19th, 1934, the SS Martha Washington steamed into Haifa Bay. Aboard, the vanguard of Youth Aliyah, 43 German Jewish boys and girls between the ages of 15 and 17. In the following 5 months,
50 girls bound for a horticultural school at Kalkiot, near Jerusalem.
30 boys to be part of a workers' village in Haifa.
40 religious youth settling at Rodgate.
Youth bound for a kibbutz in the Emek.
Girls to attend a vocational high school in Jerusalem.
Youth Aliyah, which had begun slowly, had taken on a certain tempo. There was just one little problem.
I regret to inform you, Miss Zold, that you have exhausted the allocation of 350 certificates of entry granted by His Majesty's government.
Nevertheless, between 1934 and 1938, some 3,000 German youths were brought to Palestine on the precious certificates of entry reluctantly doled out to Youth Aliyah. The German youth studied and worked, grew suntanned and fit, preparing in small groups for life on the land. In the hills of Galilee and on the plains of the Sharon, they rediscovered their ancient heritage. They found a new life. When their work in the fields was done, they danced the hora and sang an old new song.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity.
On the continent of Europe, a different kind of unity was being forged.
Anschluss in Austria.
Sudetenland for the Sudeten Germans.
Munich.
We have one peace in our time.
On November 8, 1938, a grief-crazed boy assassinated the German ambassador to France. On November 9th, in Germany...
Out! Out into the street! Open! Open!
What is it? What's happening?
This. This is happening!
Please!
Get away from him!
Please, he's bleeding.
Here. Help him bleed.
Mama! Mama! Mama!
Germany alone, there were 75,000 Jewish children under the age of 16. In swallowed Austria and dismembered Czechoslovakia, nearly the same number again. And out of the night of persecution, there came a cry.
Our children! Save our children!
For us, there is no hope, but please!
While there is still time!
Save our children!
While there's time!
Save our children!
The gates of Palestine were closed to the multitude who were anxious to enter. But the hearts of many nations of the world were open.
In Denmark, Sweden, Holland, France, Belgium, youth Aliyah readied temporary homes.
And in England, there was an announcement.
England will permit 10,000 Jewish children to enter. That is, if 10,000 can be rescued.
Soon, in Germany, a Dutch welfare worker obtained an official interview.
State your business.
Yes, Commissioner Eichmann. London has granted permission for 10,000 Jewish children
Stop.
To be...
Stop. You are Jewish?
No, I'm not.
Well, why do you interest yourself in this matter?
In Holland, sir, we do not ask if children in need are Jews or non-Jews.
In Holland, you are sadly unenlightened.
Commissioner, these are children I plead for.
Jewish children.
Commissioner Eichmann, in 1918, we took thousands of starving German and Austrian children into our homes. We nursed them back to health. We didn't ask questions. We fed them.
Mm. Yes, that's true.
Commissioner Eichmann?
There's a crazy woman here who wants to take Jewish children to England.
Yes, Commissioner.
Deliver 600 to her with exit visas at the railroad station next Saturday.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Don't thank me. I do it for the state. 600 fewer of these little monsters to deal with. Heil Hitler.
Some got out legally. Other thousands were smuggled stealthily across borders in the night.
I understand. I get under the train and hang on to the rods until the first stop where people speak French.
Yes, Papa, I will be quiet. But what if I sneeze?
Do I? Why should I get into the trunk?
These were the ones who escaped. There were also those left behind.
Mama!
Shh, I'm
in. Mama, I'm hungry.
Child, don't talk. Be still.
Mama, where is Papa?
Please, child, be quiet.
Mama, I don't like this place. I don't like this number on my arm.
Please, child, please. At least we are together.
The war years came. The generals and strategists studied the maps and shifting boundary lines. But for the Jewish children of Europe, those who were still alive, the continent was a single, unmarked wilderness, a desert of fear and suffering to be crossed. In hiding, in terror, and in flight, they moved in crazy patterns through the woods and thickets of Central and Eastern Europe, across the snow-covered steppes of Russia and Siberia, northward, eastward, southward, but with one goal. It was as if the children knew something their elders could not conceive, as if some pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night guided them towards an unveiled future, a new freedom of the youth and for the youth and by the youth.
Tanya, where are we?
In the woods, Moshe.
But where? We're lost.
Oh, no, Moshe, we're not lost.
You know where we are, Tanya?
Of course I know, Moshe. We are on the way to Palestine.
Of all the children who found their way by devious routes to the land of Israel, none tapped the wellsprings of the world's compassion more than the Tehran children.
I was a Tehran child.
The Tehran children. The first large group of youth Aliyah children to reach the Holy Land during the war. 933 Polish Jewish children who wandered through the wilderness for more than 3 years.
When the war broke out, we were moved from Poland to detention camps in Siberia. My parents died in Siberia.
4 out of every 5 of the Tehran children were orphans.
I was 7 when we started southward. We went any way we could, sometimes by wagon, sometimes by boat. Mostly we walked. We crossed into Iran from Tashkent.
Outside Tehran, they squatted in a tent city provided by the Polish Red Cross. What was left of the trip to Palestine was relatively short, only to be transported across Iraq.
Iraq would not let us through.
The 933 children were ferried by air to Karachi, India, put on board ship, and brought around Arabia.
We came by an old route, across the Red Sea, and up from Egypt. Of course, we came by train. Still, even then, it seemed the right way to be getting to Palestine. The right way to be getting home.
Work came to stop in Palestine the day the Tehran children arrived, and one woman, Henrietta Zold, spoke for a people's heart.
For these we will sacrifice and work as if they were our own. They are our own. They are no one else's.
What had begun as a movement to settle adolescent pioneers on the land had been converted by the necessities of war into a life-saving movement for refugee children of all ages. In Palestine and elsewhere, the problems were considered.
These children cannot be settled in tents. They need homes.
Almost overnight, a network of children's villages, children's homes, and centers were built by willing hands.
Most of them have never even been to school.
Teachers were found, and the ancient problems of 2 plus 2 considered.
The children of Germany came prepared in health and spirit. But these have been sleeping in the woods, half naked, exposed to being leaves, eaten by vermin, starved.
The supplies were found and the place made, and the slow process of restoring shattered children to physical and spiritual health was undertaken by warm and understanding hearts.
What's your name, son?
Jacob.
Your last name?
I don't know. They never called me anything but Jacob.
Well, for the time being, we'll give you a name then. Suppose we call you Ben-Ami.
Ben-Ami?
Yes. It means son of my people. Here in this children's village, there are many Ben-Amis.
The number of Ben-Amis grew in the children's villages and centers, augmented by the remnants of Europe's Jewry at the war's end. Out of the bunkers and the concentration camps, out of the sanctuary of the monasteries and the hiding places in the homes of friendly Christians, those who had survived stumbled into the sunlight, and the urge to life in their emaciated bodies propelled them forward.
To the land of Israel!
From liberated Buchenwald and Dachau, from Bergen-Belsen, out of the ashes of devastated Europe, they began a new march.
Southward through Austria and Italy.
Southward through Austria and Yugoslavia.
The illegals.
The illegals who would not be illegal.
Illegals marching to Palestine, the sun slanting down on a motto on tattered flags.
Banayish, Bonayish.
Thy children shall be thy builders.
On to the ships of the Mediterranean.
Across the blue water to Haifa.
You will not be permitted to land. Proceed to Cyprus.
The children refused to understand. They would not be contained. Not by the fences of the DP camps, not by national boundaries, not even by the parched desolation of Cyprus. In the Cyprian youth village, they prepared. And as they queued up for the long wait before the shut door of Palestine, they were one with the youth already in the land. One with those already productive graduates and students of Youth Aliyah, the Ben-Amis, who in the warm sun of compassion and love had flourished and learned to smile again. By 1948, Youth Aliyah could report,
"We have brought 29,000 children to Israel. We have established 65 youth Aliyah boarding schools and children's villages. And more than 10,000 youth Aliyah graduates have settled on the land." Well, that is my report. And I apologize for it.
Apologize?
I apologize, yes, because it is statistical. Children are not statistics.
They have not been treated as statistics. They have been treated for what they are, individual, striving human beings. The children of Youth Aliyah have been gathered preciously, one by one, caressed
by the loving hands of mothers in a dozen countries of the world, guided slowly towards individual fulfillment, protected for a destiny beyond their comprehension, beyond the comprehension even of those who aid them. Six years ago, in the 14th year of Youth Aliyah, the State of Israel was born. In the words of David Ben-Gurion,
"The State of Israel will be open to the immigration of Jews from all countries of their dispersion."
After 2,000 years of exile, the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy.
"I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth."
The gates at last swung open.
From Yemen alone came 50,000 flying from feudal bondage towards the light of a new life of freedom.
Among them, a whole generation requiring the care of Youth Aliyah.
From the disease-ridden mellahs of Morocco, the ghettos of Tunisia, thousands more.
From Iraq, Iran, Egypt, Syria, Transjordan, where persecution fled anew.
1,000 children a month. A new kind of children for Israel. Children from backward lands.
This is soap, Avram. You clean yourself with it.
One can choose a trade to learn.
Oh, what a strange land Israel is. Here we children are allowed to play.
Today, the citizens of Israel look back across the span of 20 years. Those who came first as youth are now parents themselves, settlers in 50 villages on the land. Hundreds of graduates now guide others on the road to rehabilitation. In a time of violence and destruction, the children of Youth Aliyah have been taught the arts of peace and productivity. In a time of growing barriers between nations, 64,000 children have reaffirmed the rights of human beings to live where they will. In a time of fear, the children of Youth Aliyah have shown us courage. Of the 64,000 who have come, 13,000 are, as of today, still wards of Youth Aliyah.
A bridge between the past and the future.
A bridge between the crowded cities and the land itself.
An integrating force.
As of this day, the gifts that flow mainly from America to the children of Aliyah are these.
Food, clothing, medical care.
Agricultural training in farm schools and villages.
Vocational training in industrial schools.
Special training for the handicapped.
Special care for the maladjusted.
These are the specifics. Yet for all the 64,000 who have come beneath the wing of Youth Aliyah, the gifts have also been
education for democracy,
faith and the tradition of Israel,
brotherhood and hope.
What have they been given?
A future. A future which is also our own. Today in the land of Israel, the land of ancient miracles, the land of spirits, the people of Israel look back across the span of 20 years, years of grim tragedy and glorious redemption. Yet of all the modern miracles that shaped that reborn land, none stands greater than the miracle of Youth Aliyah, born in anguish, yet an instrument for life.
In this season of our freedom, the sound of voices rises in the villages and settlements of Aliyah, and it is a song of deliverance chanted by the children of liberty. From 72 lands, they have found their way out of the wilderness. They stand united in brotherhood at the head of their people. Once, long centuries ago, the children of Israel, in another wandering through the desert of their times, climbed upwards towards a new morality, not for themselves alone, but for all mankind. In our century, let us repeat the words with reverence. Youth Aliyah, for its brotherhood is a light unto the nations, a prophet vision of a new and noble world to come.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address
with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Yitzchak Ben-Zvi, wife of the President of the State of Israel. Mrs. Ben-Zvi.
Dear friends, on the 20th anniversary of Yutalia and World Jewish Child's Day, I wish to express our deep appreciation to all of you who have so magnificently supported this great venture, and to all members of Hadassah for realizing its importance and incorporating it as a major part of their activities. How well I do remember Henrietta Salt's wise comment that 2 years of education and training of youngsters on the soil forms the foundation for their entire life, regardless of whether they elect to continue in agriculture or not. I have closely observed Utalia children while working with them in the children's village of Inkerem. The 200 children came from 22 countries, and I felt that the work on the land and the learning of the Bible and the language of the Bible imbued them with the human ideals of our prophet and the God-inspired love for Eretz Israel. It is this spirit which embraces thousands and thousands of Utalia children in agricultural settlements and Utalia institutions. The outstanding idea of this training is to awaken in the children the very best of social consciousness, the need for mutual help and collective responsibility. At the same time, Utalia pays particular attention to the development of each child's character and talent. It is thus that our young generation, Israel's future, is molded. My blessings to you all. We have full confidence in your wise and devoted friendship. Shalom, shalom.
Thank you, Mrs. Ben-Zvi. Our eternal light drama today, Children of Liberty, was written by Mark Siegel. It was presented in observance of World Jewish Child's Day and the 20th anniversary of the founding of Youth Aliyah. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast was Alexander Scorby as the narrator. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.